Please join in the prayer for illumination. God of signs and wonders, we come to your word again and again, seeking understanding and the new life it offers. By the power of your Holy Spirit, illumine our hearts and minds so that we may believe this testimony and have eternal life. In the name of Jesus Christ, our teacher and Savior, we pray. Amen. Our scripture reading today is Psalm 121. A pilgrimage song. I raise my eyes towards the mountains. Where will my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. God won't let your foot slip. Your protector won't fall asleep on the job. No, Israel's protector never sleeps or rests. The Lord is your protector. The Lord is your shade right beside you. The sun won't strike you during the day, neither will the moon at night. The Lord will protect you from all evil. God will protect your very life. The Lord will protect you on your journeys, whether going or coming, from now until forever from now. The Lord, word of God for the people of God.
Thank our sister in Christ for sharing those words of truth that can be trusted.
Thank you, my friend.
I didn't realize it, but we kind of match today also, so that's absolutely. So anybody that's a liturgist, you need to check with the pastor and what you're going to wear from now on. Join with me in prayer. We thank you. And God, we thank you again for speaking into our lives. Your word, what was offered by our sister, not simply ink on paper, but alive, speaking into our lives. Thank you for its truth that we can trust in you. And it's in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen. I want to talk to you just a little bit, just a brief moment about a creation of God that is near and dear to my heart. Patches the Shih Tzu. One of our dogs is named Patches, and she happens to be a Shih Tzu. Anybody have a Shih Tzu? Anybody ever known of anybody that had a Shih Tzu? Anybody ever have an attack Shih Tzu like I have, actually? Special breed that we have, and I know that she's an attack Shih Tzu because I can have Patches up in my lap, and she does this trick, by the way, where if Butterbean, who is our miniature golden doodle, okay, is up in my lap, and she's not a lap dog, but she climbs up in our lap, and she gives me those big eyes, and she licks me on the nose and things like that. It's quite a target for her to hit. So anyway, she goes ahead and does that. And then Patches wants to get up in my lap. She gets one of Butterbean's toys, squeezes it, shakes it, does the dust shake with her head until Butterbean gets down, jumps down, gets it, and then Patches jumps up in my lap. And they say they're dumb animals. No, not at all. So Patches is up in my lap, and I call her an attack Shih Tzu because she'll be giving me those wonderful, beautiful big eyes and just staring. You know those eyes that stare down into your soul? And then all of a sudden, her neck shoots out and she bites me right on the nose. You know, there are some people like that too. They give you such a wonderful, loving look, and then all of a sudden, you really have to watch out for them. Anyways, she's an attack Shih Tzu, no question. And I also understand that Shih Tzus may have actually traveled with Buddha, you know, Buddha, way back then. So that makes sense. She climbs up on the top of my chair and starts licking my head also. Now, Patches is part of our family, part of our home, and animals become that way for us. But patches is not just merely a thing. Judy and I keep her. We take care of her. We protect her. We make sure that she's taken care of because she adds to our lives. We love her. She's not just a thing for us. We love her deeply. It's amazing, that gift of love that God first gave us through Jesus, how it can manifest itself in so many other ways in our lives. Because God first loved us through Jesus, we can love more fully and more completely. Isn't that a beautiful gift? But that idea of keeping patches also is something that I wanted to go ahead and share with you and kind of expand upon. In this particular passage, one of my favorite psalms, by the way, the psalmist is reminding those who would listen and hear that God is our keeper. God sees us as precious. Now, does that mean that sometimes we bite God in the nose? Well, I don't know about that. But does it sometimes mean that we do things that God doesn't want us to do? Does God still love us? Yes. For us to have God as our keeper, someone who really loves us and cares about us more than we can imagine, is challenging. Because at times in our society, we come to believe in something called a self-made man or a self-made woman. Now, as Christians, we understand that there is no such thing, and I don't mean to offend any of you out there who feel that you're a self-made man or self-made woman. But as Christians, we understand that there is no such thing because we do not operate in a vacuum. We operate together as the body of Christ. We operate together as brothers and sisters in Christ, and we operate in that way, we live in that way, because God first initiated love and grace in our lives. Does that make sense? See, we haven't done it ourselves. We don't do anything on our own now because God is at work in our lives. That's still humbling for me, no matter how many times I say it or think about it. I don't do anything on my own now because God is at work in my life. I've handed my life over to God. God is my keeper. That challenges us as well, because sometimes we want to do our own thing. You know what, Lord? I'm tired of being good. I'm going to be a little bit ornery today. Now, for some of you, that is a daily routine. I understand that. And I don't want to look at anybody in particular. And so I'm going to close my eyes right now, and I'm just going to just kind of scan you, and you know who you are, and I love you even more. And I know you're looking at me and thinking the same thing also. But even in those moments, God continues to remind us, speaking into our lives, saying, "You're mine." Even when you don't believe it, you're mine. Even when you don't act like it, you're mine. Even when you don't speak it, you belong to me. Can that be true? Yes. This thing that we call the Bible, that we look at, we understand that that is one big, long love letter from God to us, in essence, in entirety. Certainly, there's a lot of different sections within it, but overall, it's God speaking His love to us, seeking to remind us, get our attention, offer us hope. You know, whenever we're facing a challenge, I think hope is what we need more than anything else. Whenever we're facing an obstacle in our lives, a brokenness, something that's come out deep from within our soul that we're looking at again, that we're facing again, a scar from our past, any of those things, hope is something that we want to hold on to. Hope is something that we want to believe in. Hope is something that we want to pull from God. And hope is something that God is already offering because He is our keeper and He loves us more than we can imagine. Whenever you're facing those hills, whenever you're facing those challenges in your life, what a wonderful truth it is to know that our keeper, God, the source of grace, and encouragement, and love, is already speaking into our lives. You know, this particular psalm has a number of different interpretations as far as what was happening right at the beginning. Some would say that this was a psalm that pilgrims sang on their way to Jerusalem. Okay, they were on their way to the temple. And so they were singing this, reminding themselves and chanting this, reminding themselves that God is their source of strength. Others said that it was simply something that people offered whenever they were heading out on a journey. Because in that day and age, taking a journey was an arduous and difficult thing to do. Now I'm thinking about people taking a journey right now because we're seeing more and more RVs, which are connected to toy haulers, which are connected to the vehicle that was used in Yuma, which are, I don't know if I've seen anything longer than that, but you know what I'm talking about? Have you seen some of those? Maybe you have one of those. Maybe you're working on getting that situated right now, and you're about ready to head out on a journey. And for those of you who are going to be heading out on a journey, we love you, we're going to miss you, and we'll see you next year. Same place, okay? Blessings for the journey. But for any of us taking a journey, not only a physical journey, but a spiritual journey, to offer these words is a wonderful thing. It really points us in the right direction, doesn't it? I'm not talking about northwest, east, or south, but I'm talking about spiritually from our hearts. Now, it's also been said that this was penned, this psalm was written by somebody heading into battle. Well, I think that's a reality. That's something that we can hold on to as well. Thinking about spiritual warfare that we're engaged in. Struggles with the enemy. We understand that it's going to be important that in the midst of those struggles and sometimes in the darkest days that we understand that God keeps us. God does not merely have us as possessions. We are God's beloved. Maybe God uses that term with us sometimes also. But we are God's beloved, immeasurably dear to God. Immeasurably dear to God. I like that, didn't you? Immeasurably. We are not merely possessions in the eyes of the Lord, because if we suffer, it hurts God as well. God is not always to be found in the immediacy of our situation, but as the one whose face we seek as we elevate our gaze. As we look up, and sometimes we have this image of looking up to see God, but really we can look all around us, look in the face of one another, look in the circumstances, look in creation, and we see God's presence. There's that question that the rest of the psalm approaches and addresses. From where will my help come? Okay? From where will my help come? Have you ever said that in your life in one way or another? God, how am I going to get out of this one? Lord, I really need to feel your presence right now. God, just give me something. Where will my help come from? At some point in our lives, we ask that question, and we ask it in a deeper manner. You can ask that question in a couple of different ways, at least. You can ask that question, and you want God to go ahead and deliver the goods. You want God to go ahead and take care of you. It's like God's some big vending machine in the sky that we push it and we get whatever we want, okay? We can also ask that question, where will my help come from? And we ask it in a deeper way. Because we realize at that point, whenever we're asking it, at that very moment, whenever we're asking that question, we realize that we cannot be our own gods. We cannot be lifted up above God. We are dependent on the one true only God. In these times, dark times often, there's no choice but to acknowledge the limits of our own power. These are moments when the illusion of our power and what we can do and accomplish are really kind of stripped away. And we are blessed with the reality that we need help outside of ourselves. This, my friends, is whenever we become real in our faith and in our journey, understanding that it's not about us, but it's about God. From where will my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. There's an awful lot of credentials of God that are mentioned in this psalm, aren't there? God's a pretty awesome God, no question about it. God made heaven and the earth. God's not going to let your foot be moved. God's also not going to sleep on the job. Okay. God will protect us both day and night. And in our coming and our going, in other words, in the very movement of life, the Lord's protection is all-encompassing. Now let me go ahead and share this also. Having a keeper, having someone who does all of those things, who watches over us, our very movements, our very breath, is a two-way street. For all that we gain, we must first give ourselves to the one who offers the protection. We gain protection, but we lose a sense of total independence. Let me go ahead and repeat that. We gain protection, but we lose a sense of total independence. In other words, the singular theme of Psalm 121 may not sound like great news to everybody. It may actually sound like an encroachment on our lives. But it also reminds us that throughout the Psalms, God is the one who's pointed to as our help, as our sustainer, again and again and again. In Psalm 22, verse 19, "But you, O Lord, do not be far away. O my help, come quickly to my aid." Psalm 33, 20, "Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield." Psalm 54, 4, "But surely God is my helper. The Lord is the upholder of my life." And then Psalm 63, 7, "For you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I sing for joy." In the shadow of your wings I sing for joy. In God's arms, in God's wings, God, our keeper and our sustainer. Again and again, Scripture reminds us that when we are busy and focused on following where God leads us, God assumes a responsibility for our safety and for our shade. It's kind of important, shade, that is, in Yuma, isn't it? And it's kind of remarkable, whenever Judy and I first moved to Arizona and then to Yuma, that whenever we would go in the summer to the mall, guess where all the vehicles were parked around? Wherever there was shade. It didn't matter. There was closer spots or spots right up next to the door, but people were parked, clustered around the shade. Even a little bit of shade on the car would make you feel cooler getting into it. God is our shade, our comfort. For some of us, shade is critical. Psalm 121 became very real for me years ago, whenever I was still serving a church back in Western PA, and I received a call from my mom, this was years ago, who said, "They're taking your dad to the hospital." And I went over and I picked up her from the house, and we drove down. And right about that moment, they were making the decision to life flight my dad to a bigger hospital in Pittsburgh, Shadyside. And so my mom and I got in the car, and we drove down there, and I'll never forget seeing the helicopter that he was riding in pass over us as we were getting to the hospital. Then I'll also never forget, these are some of the memories that continue to play in my mind from time to time. I'll never forget hearing from the surgeon these words, "We'll see what we can do." And I was being the pastor, and I was being the son. And eventually, once my mom was situated and some folks from the church showed up, amazing, they took me to the little chapel at Shadyside Hospital. It's not that big, but it's a beautiful place, intimate. They took me to the chapel, Shadyside Hospital, and I was holding it together fairly well until I looked on the wall, and what was the psalm that I saw there in beautiful calligraphy? "I look to the hills. From where will my help come?" And I wept, and that's all I could do. I didn't know at that moment what was going to happen with my dad, if he was even going to survive the surgery. He did. But then we didn't know how he was going to be from that point forward. It was pretty miraculous. Later on in the week, his heart surgeon specifically said to us, "You know, it wasn't me who was at work in the operating room." Still get chills by that statement. My dad made a wonderful recovery. But what I want to share with you is at the point that God spoke to me and reminded me that he was my keeper, my dad's keeper, my mom's, and everybody there, and everybody in the entire hospital, everybody in this gathering as well. Whenever I was reminded of that, it was at a moment of incredible anxiety, of uncertainty, of deep weeping. And it was at a moment whenever I trusted in God for the future, no matter what may happen. For me, that's the moment the Scripture came alive and spoke to me, my heart, and continues to speak to me this very day. Even when we don't know what the future holds, we know who holds the future. My friends, I would invite you to take a few moments along with me just to meditate on that reality. How is God your keeper? How are you living in that way? How are you trusting in God? Maybe there's something that you need to trust God with, and you can do that right now. Hand it over to Him. He loves you.